So imagine you are a buyer, right? And you've just hit submit on a really critical materials order. You bring the sigh of relief, and you immediately move on to the next fire drill.
Because there's always the next fire drill in procurement.
Exactly. But what if, in that exact moment, a system realizes you just ordered identical materials for the exact same site 2 days ago?
Right.
The cash isn't gone yet. I mean, the supplier hasn't packed the truck. Once a purchase order is created, the clock absolutely starts ticking, but the door isn't locked.
No, it's not.
You are in this very specific, incredibly valuable golden window. And if you're managing a procurement operation right now, you know exactly how vital this window is. The operational friction we face, it isn't just about spotting an error.
Right.
It's the fact that relevant contexts like a duplicate demand or maybe a better negotiated agreement, it has to reach the exact person who has the authority to correct it while there is still time to actually act.
Spot on.
Yeah.
And that distinction, between a committed order and an unchangeable outcome, that really is the entire foundation of the post-creation purchase order window.
Right.
Because, look, procurement systems are fantastic at capturing what was bought, from whom, and through which approval route.
They log the transaction perfectly.
Exactly. But the context required to make the optimal commercial decision, it just doesn't always align perfectly with the moment a buyer is drafting the request.
Yeah, the timing is off.
Right. So Date Novel is explicitly designed to operate after the purchase order is created. It's looking to catch value leakage in that exact window when an on-screen suggestion during the initial drafting phase might have already been passed over.
Or just ignored in the rush to get things done, to be fair. But stop right there because I do have to push back on this a bit.
Go on.
If an organization has invested, heavily in a comprehensive procurement suite, shouldn't the front-end interface handle all this compliance before the purchase order is even generated? I mean, why are we waiting until after they click submit?
It's a fair question, but it really comes down to practical operating reality and honestly, human psychology.
How so?
Well, focusing on this post-creation window, it doesn't assume that all your buyers are deliberately ignoring their screens, and it certainly doesn't imply that competing procurement software lacks post-order controls. Front-end compliance is absolutely vital.
Right, you still need those initial guardrails.
Exactly. But if we look at the reality on the ground, buyers are balancing intense competing pressures. I mean, they have site managers screaming for deadlines. They're managing highly fragmented demand across really complex categories.
Yeah, it's chaos most days.
It is. And in that environment, on-screen pop-ups can quite literally become invisible during a rushed drafting process. It's a well-documented phenomenon called alert blindness.
Oh, right, where you just automatically click dismiss without even reading it.
Exactly. You just want the screen to go away so you can finish the task. So operating after creation, it provides a secondary, highly targeted mechanism.
Okay, I see.
It allows a system to assess the finalized details of the committed order against your broader operational data and then present the buyer with context they might have missed while there is still time to actually amend the record.
Okay, but let's look at it from the buyer's perspective for a second. If I'm a buyer and some automated system starts emailing me every single time I place an order just to, second guess my decisions, I am setting up a spam filter by lunchtime.
Oh, absolutely.
Alert fatigue is a massive risk. So how does Data Novel actually execute this intervention without completely infuriating the buying team and disrupting their workflow?
The primary protection against alert fatigue lies in a really ruthlessly strict triage process.
Okay, triage. How does that work?
Before any message is sent to a buyer, the system assesses three very specific criteria. First, the confidence in the signal. Second, the materiality of the value at stake. And third, the time remaining to act.
So it's not just flagging every single typo or 10-pound discrepancy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If an order is flagged, but the potential variance is immaterial, say a few pounds on a low-risk category, or if the delivery is due in 2 hours and it's physically too late to change anything, sending an email just creates noise.
It doesn't create value.
Right. So the system simply won't send it. The models are trained entirely on your own operational data, and they work alongside predefined business rules and evidence matching.
And just to clarify on the data side, because IT security is always the big hurdle here, where is this data actually being processed?
That is a crucial point. From an IT security perspective, this all runs on approved client compute.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. Your procurement data does not move to a date novel owned system. It stays strictly within your own approved environment.
That is a huge point for the security teams. So let's say those three thresholds are actually met, right? The system is highly confident, it's a very material amount of money, and we have time to act. What does that intervention actually look like for the buyer sitting at their desk?
The system emails the purchase order creator directly, using the channels they already operate in every day. So like a standard email or a Microsoft Teams message.
Keeping it in their normal workflow.
Exactly.
Hey.
And that message is highly specific. It contains the exact evidence, the potential consequence of the current order, and a clear, actionable correction for them to consider.
Does it ever escalate if the buyer just ignores it?
Only in cases of exceptionally high confidence and very material value will the system copy a line manager. And that happens strictly under pre-agreed escalation rules.
This is not just snitching to the boss every time.
No, not at all. It is selective follow-up. It is never a blanket escalation policy that copies the boss on everything.
The critical nuance I'm hearing here is that the buyer keeps the autonomy.
Absolutely.
There are no automatic silent order changes happening in the background where a machine just swaps the supplier without telling anyone.
Never.
The system provides the context, but the human assesses the reality on the ground. Which means, essentially, a buyer response is never actually guaranteed, right?
That's right.
They might look at the context and say, no, I need to do it this way. For reasons a system couldn't possibly know.
That's exactly how it should function. The human is in control. To make this abstract process a bit more tangible, let's look at three distinct practical procurement scenarios that illustrate how both direct and indirect value are captured.
Yeah, real-world examples always help.
Let's start with demand consolidation and cash exposure. Imagine you see two closely timed call-offs, meaning a buyer is drawing down on a larger agreement for the exact same insulation material, requested for the exact same site, raised just days apart.
Okay, that definitely looks like a mistake on paper.
Right. The system detects this signal and prompts the buyer to check if both are actually needed or if someone accidentally duplicated the demand.
But the reality of construction or, you know, manufacturing is that both of those orders might actually be perfectly legitimate.
Exactly.
One might be for a designated subcontractor who just arrived on site, and the other is for your direct workforce. So the system isn't demanding they cancel it.
No, it's simply asking the question. Because normally, bulk call-offs for that specific material happen months apart, not 48 hours apart.
Spot on. Okay, what's the second scenario?
Our second scenario shifts to savings leakage. This happens when an order appears not to reflect valid negotiated pricing.
Which happens constantly.
It does. Now, a simple price anomaly on its own isn't usually enough to trigger a useful intervention. The system needs to check the specifications, the units of measure, the timing, and any applied surcharges to provide comprehensive context.
So it's doing a deep dive, not just looking at the final number.
Exactly. It might reveal that a rushed buyer selected a premium specification when a standard contracted option was perfectly adequate and available. Or it might show they ordered a volume that falls just below a major negotiated discount threshold.
Oh, that's a classic one. Ordering 99 widgets when the discount kicks in at 100.
Precisely. The buyer is given the full commercial impact so they can adjust the economics of the transaction before the supplier processes it.
Okay, so that covers the visible costs, right? The price tags and duplicate orders. But what about the invisible costs? The stuff that doesn't look like a mistake until a month later when accounts payable is tearing their hair out over a blocked invoice?
That brings us perfectly to the third scenario, which is workload avoidance. This involves an order that has an incomplete service scope or a missing contract reference.
It's basically like fixing a leaky pipe before you put the drywall up, isn't it?
That is a great analogy.
Because if you catch the ambiguous service description or the missing commodity code right now at the buying stage, you aren't ripping the walls open with a massive clarification loop weeks later.
Exactly. It stops the invoice from failing the matching process downstream.
Which means your accounts payable team doesn't have to manually chase the buyer for clarification long after everyone has forgotten what the order was even for. Preventing that invoice friction is a distinct operational win.
It is. And it's essential for procurement leaders to distinguish clearly between those direct benefits, like a price variance, and the indirect benefits, like downstream workload avoidance.
They are very different types of value.
They are. And we should also mention cash timing here. Deferring an unnecessary order entirely delays your capital deployment, which is great for working capital.
Right, keeping cash in the bank longer.
But cash timing is a completely separate outcome from realized unit savings. Delaying a purchase protects cash today, but it doesn't equate to a permanent reduction in the unit cost of those goods.
Which is an important reality check. So let's talk about implementation. If I'm listening to this and I want to deploy this decision context layer in my organization, how do we actually start? Because I'm assuming this isn't just a magical plug and play app that I switch on and it instantly fixes my dirty data.
No, there is no magic wand here. The first step is always a scoped assessment.
What does that actually involve?
It's a rigorous process where we identify the feasible signals within your specific data environment. We locate the inevitable data gaps, we understand your actual amendment windows, because every organization's operations are different, and we project the potential benefits based on real assumptions.
So you're mapping the reality, not just the theory.
Exactly. We also map out the exact implementation requirements to prioritize what actually merits building.
Just to be incredibly clear on the commercial terms here, because let's be honest, there's a lot of fluff in the software market right now. There is no fixed first week promise here, is there?
No.
No fixed price for the eventual rollout, and certainly no free assessment.
None of the above. The assessment is a tangible professional engagement designed to establish genuine feasibility.
Right.
Once that assessment dictates a roadmap, the rollout happens signal by signal, working entirely within your existing approved platforms.
Why go signal by signal, though? I mean, if we've done the assessment and we know the data works, why not just switch it on for every category at once and maximize the return on investment immediately?
Because activating every potential signal simultaneously is the fastest way to completely destroy buyer trust.
Because they just get bombarded.
Exactly. We use a build, operate, transfer model. You have to build internal capability, refine the data model safely, and prove actual value in one area before you expand the scope.
Walk me through that.
Well, you might start with just demand consolidation. You operate it. Your internal procurement and data teams must be heavily involved throughout this build. They're the ones reviewing the signals, refining the context messages, and observing the buyer actions.
So it's a true partnership, not just handing over the keys.
Exactly. This collaborative approach leads to practical operating ownership and a formal handover, so your teams understand the logic and can maintain the capability themselves.
We have to be transparent about the technological realities here. There are no zero integration or effortless maintenance promises with a system like this.
Absolutely not.
Implementing a custom context layer requires structured, deliberate effort. Now, there is no mandatory tech stack you have to buy from Data Novel, but you do have to configure this within your own environment.
Right.
And importantly, while everyone is obsessed with AI right now, using AI or retrieval models does not magically eliminate hallucinations or data errors. The system fundamentally relies on the quality of your operational data and the strictness of the business rules applied to it.
Which brings us directly to how success is credibly measured without relying on vanity metrics.
Because we all know how those spreadsheets can look.
Right. Value verification requires measuring outcomes against an agreed, valid baseline using actual evidence from your orders, your invoices, and your payments. You have to separate the metrics distinctly.
So breaking them down into categories.
Exactly. Amended commitments, actual purchase savings, cash timing or financing effects, and operational measures like cycle time reduction.
This is where we see the most danger in procurement software, to be honest. The ROI spreadsheet. The temptation that organizations face is to double count savings and cash timing just to make the return on investment look spectacular for internal stakeholders.
It happens all the time.
It really does. Intellectual honesty is non-negotiable here. An amended commitment, like changing the value on a purchase order, must be strictly separated from realized cash that actually stays in the bank.
Yes.
And frankly, just because an order change doesn't automatically prove the automated email caused it, correlation isn't causation.
Exactly. The buyer might have realized their mistake entirely on their own, or maybe the supplier called them to flag a stock issue.
That exact reality is why tracking response patterns over time is so strategic. This creates what we call behavioral memory, right?
It does. If buyers frequently cancel duplicate demand after seeing similar orders elsewhere, the context is clearly working. But if they consistently ignore a signal about preferred suppliers for a specific category, it tells you the signal is weak, the context provided is incomplete, or perhaps your preferred route is practically flawed for that specific site.
The reality on the ground doesn't match the policy.
Right. So this behavioral memory helps refine the signals and the timing. But it must be explicitly stated. This data is used to improve the system's accuracy and usefulness.
It is never meant to be a performance score used to penalize individual employees.
Absolutely not. That would ruin the trust entirely.
The immediate value comes from giving buyers better context to make better decisions at the exact point of action. But the enduring value comes from understanding those behavioral patterns across your categories and your sites.
That's where the real transformation happens.
So if you are looking at your own procurement operation and wondering how much value is leaking in that window between a buyer clicking submit and the supplier acting, it requires identifying the most worthwhile first signal in your own operational data. I encourage you to reach out and discuss a scoped assessment with Data Novel to identify exactly where that first signal lies for you.